Five of the Magnificent Seven. Magnus Haystack is the Magnificent One. Lovely talking with you as always, Magnus. I guess you've been paying attention, or will be paying attention, to what's going on in Wall Street and those results that come out, starting with Alphabet tonight.
Indeed. Good morning, Alec. Nice to talk to you and to your listeners and viewers. You know, of course, you know, I start with what's happening in the American markets. I mean, that's just the driving force of all markets. And, you know, then you look at South Africa. And, you know, it's been a fascinating year for all the major indices in the United States. The NASDAQ at record levels, the S&P 500. This has spilled over into the South African market. So for the first time in many, many years, both the JSE and world markets are having a terrific run.
Okay. You were talking about how important it is now for South African investors on what happens in the US. And it's so different, isn't it, to years ago when the two of us were young reporters in newspapers, where we couldn't give a fig about what happened outside of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Of course, today that's turned on its head.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, you know, we've now, most high net worth South Africans and even average South Africans now do have a large exposure to world markets, which is a good thing. And, you know, we are driven by world events, and the US market, you have to follow that market. You have to follow the European markets, London market. And it's been a fantastic market for equity markets all around the world this year. All the major indices are at record levels. JSE, nice to say, it's having a terrific year, a terrific 6 months, with the strengthening of the rand, the GNU, the confidence coming back. So, you know, our markets, we're touching returns of 27-28% this year, which said hasn't happened in a very, very long time. At the same time, world markets have done exactly the same, and we're watching the tech-heavy NASDAQ quite heavily, because that's what's going to happen this week. We've got Alphabet, we've got NVIDIA, which last week for a brief period was the largest company in the world. Can you believe it? And you've got Meta also having a terrific run. So for those South African investors who have externalized or even via their pension funds, we are all benefiting from this bull market. You know, pension funds can now take 45% of their assets abroad, and most of them have. And if you look in your portfolio, and I actually had a little session with young investors over the weekend, and I was showing them how their portfolios were exposed to the products in their hand, their cell phones, their Apples, their Samsungs. And I said, guys, you're invested in these companies, and let me show you how it works. And they were quite fascinated by this, and they went away with a totally different perspective. You know, what the products that they use on a daily basis is what they're investing in. And that's how the markets work, and that's how the world works. So, yeah, it's a great time for markets. For South Africa, we've had to say, matching for the year on year, most world markets, with the exception of the NASDAQ, which is still outperforming everything else in sight.
Well, well done to you for having that engagement with young investors. Often we kind of forget that financial literacy is not taught in schools, and so you've got to pick it up somewhere. Hopefully we are doing our bit by having programs on BizNews that people can open their eyes. But it really is a very different world to the one that might be taught by certain people in certain universities. But getting back to the Magnificent Seven, you mentioned NVIDIA versus Apple to be the one of the biggest companies or the most valuable company in the world. This week, with the five of them coming through, Alphabet tonight, then we have Meta, then we have Amazon, then we have Apple, but we don't have NVIDIA until later in November. And it doesn't mean that NVIDIA's share price is going to be unaffected, because all of these big companies, the other members of the Magnificent Seven, we had the other one, Tesla, last week, they are going to give their numbers on their investments. How much are they spending in CapEx? And if the CapEx numbers are big, then NVIDIA is going to get even stronger. It's extraordinary. How are you playing it within your clients' portfolios? Because NVIDIA's had a great run. We've got another stock in our portfolio, and we actually got a webinar at lunchtime today called Palantir, which has done almost as well as NVIDIA. But now they're getting such big percentages of the portfolios that our view has been sell half and just let the rest run, because you really can't tell when this, if it is a bubble, is going to pop, or if it isn't a bubble, how long it's going to go.
You know, I've read so many reports over the last couple of years, in fact, over the last 10 years, from commentators, oh, this is a bubble, get out, this is a bubble, get out. And, you know, if you listen to that, you know, you've just lost out on such wonderful growth opportunities. You know, at Brentis, we've been quite early in the technology space, going back 10, 12 years. And some of our investors who withstood the volatility and just let the portfolio do its work, they have made phenomenal returns. We still like technology because we can't get technology via South African portfolios. You need to go offshore to go and get it, either directly or into a fund. And, you know, so we've got some very, very happy investors who they bought the technology story, which I was quite strong on. I said, guys, we do not have a technology sector in South Africa. We have to go offshore to get some money. And we did this many, many years ago. So we're riding that bull market. How long can it last? I'm not that smart. I'm not smarter than the market. I'm just saying I would like to have some of my money involved in that sector, whether it's a technology fund or a biotechnology fund or direct shareholdings in those companies. It's been quite a fascinating ride if you look at some of the returns.
It has indeed, and I like the fact now that in our portfolios, what we have in these two high flyers is there for free, because we already made profits. So now don't, it just takes off the table any of this debate. I mean, imagine if you'd sold Naspers in any time up until it actually peaked with the 10 cent investment. Magnus, coming home, we had results yesterday from Pick and Pay. You know Sean Summers very well. He's come back into the hot seat there at the age of 70. Is he doing his bit yet? Are you giving him the benefit of the doubt, or is he already showing that he is moving in the right direction?
Well, I think, as you know, as I said, I know Sean, and we had a very, very fascinating dinner with him at your business conference not so long ago. And he was quite very honest. He said, listen, I'm cleaning house. And that's what you would expect someone like him to come out from the outside who knew the business from the ground up. So he's cleaning house. No surprises that the losses have ballooned to quite extravagant numbers. I mean, it's run about 700, 800 million rand, no dividend, closing stores. And, you know, that's what the market expected. I mean, you can see it in the share price, which is down from about 68 rand a year ago, down to 26. But there seems to be a bottom, I think, no surprises. And with a bit of luck, lower interest rates, Pick and Pay coming back at the market and taking their competitors head on, mainly ShopRite, Checkers, to a lesser extent, Woolworths. I mean, do not underestimate Sean Summers. He's a very, very smart operator, very smart man. He knows the business. And he was very honest. He says, I know what to do. It's going to take time. We need to raise cash. We need to list the Boxer. But, you know, I'm not scared of these guys. You know, remember, we forget that 10, 15 years ago, Checkers and ShopRite was a disaster story. I mean, Checkers was down market, bad products. Housewives were not happy. And they turned it around fairly dramatically. And it'll be very nice to a year or two from now to say, Sean has done it. He's turned around Pick and Pay, which, I mean, you and I grew up with Pick and Pay. I mean, almost on a daily basis. So no surprises. Losses have ballooned. But I think we're very close to the bottom. And I think the next reporting periods, you'll start seeing the improvement coming through to the bottom line.
It is an old trick, and I'm not accusing Sean of doing this, but when you are a new chief executive, clean the decks, wipe out all the bad stuff, get rid of all the rubbish, and then you have a decent base from which to work. What about Baldwin Properties? There's a company that seems to be in a little bit of trouble. Their profits have halved. Their revenues are down sharply. It is a field you know well. Properties and property development, their results for the 6 months to end August were out yesterday.
You know, the property market, especially the residential property market, has been an economic wasteland for a number of years. First of all, the very high interest rates in South Africa has really just squeezed the property market. And I looked the other day, I think we have the fourth highest real interest rates in the world at the moment. And we've had that for a very long time. Property market cannot flourish with expensive money. It needs cheap money, first of all. Secondly, it needs consumers who have a good credit rating. And that's not mentioned in the reports, but you can pick it up in other reports. You've got about 60% of people who apply for mortgage bonds who are turned down that because they have bad credit records. They've mismanaged their accounts. So they cannot get bonds in terms of the national credit regulator. So that's the kind of unspoken reality of the residential property market. And the Baldwin model is Baldwin fast, sell them fast in great numbers. And a very, very successful company over many, many years. But that model only works when there is abundant money with people wanting to buy property. In the last 2 to 3 years, that has changed. So they're building, and now they've changed their business model to a certain extent. They're now buying to rent. They will build and rent it out and manage it, which is not a bad strategy, because they're building, they're fixing their costs now, they're managing it out, and then when the upturn comes, they will release that back to the market. But the numbers reflect a very depressed property market, especially in the northern parts of the country. You know, Tshwane, Gauteng, which is their big areas, and around the area that I live, Daneford. So, you know, they're building very nice developments, but the profits are not what they used to be. So there's margin squeeze, there's sales have declined. So, you know, great company. They've done very well over many, many years, but it is a very, very tough environment to survive, even, you know, not even making profits.
Magnus Haystick is the founder and chief investment officer of Brenthurst, and bringing us up to date there on a number of issues.